Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Showrunner, my brand new podcasting course. Do you want to build a massive, engaged audience from scratch? The Showrunner podcasting course is your step-by-step guide for developing, launching, and running a remarkable show that builds you an audience in the age of on-demand audio content. Go to showrunner.fm and get on the list to be part of the extremely limited pilot launch. Receive a huge discount and get exclusive pilot launch bonuses. Find out more at showrunner.fm and get on the list.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me today. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a communicator, consultant, creator, and an entrepreneur. He is also a writer, speaker, and a master at audience building. Originally from Chicago, he then moved to Nashville after graduating from college and spending a year traveling with his band. Maybe this is why we relate so well. He has written 4 books, including the newly released The Art of Work. And also, he teaches a popular online course called Tribe Writers. Now, let's hack Jeff Goines. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsor, FreshBooks, not just for being our amazing sponsor of the show, but also their support is so damn good. I'm trying to get it for my year end to get done to my accountant. And I've realized that I can actually, my expenses from my bank account can be linked directly to my FreshBooks account, and it's all automatically done for me. Amazing, right? But I have a software company, as I've said, but I'm not very technically savvy. So I was doing it completely wrong, but I instantly called them and got on the phone with a real live person who walked me through it in 2 minutes, and it was immediately done. And the report was sent off to my accountant. And I just need to thank them because I may have smashed my computer otherwise, and that would have been a very expensive mistake. Try it absolutely free today at freshbooks.com/hack and join over 5 million users running their businesses hassle-free like I did today. Be sure to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. We have a very, very, very special guest today. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me today.
John, thanks for having me. A pleasure to be here.
It's all my pleasure. All right, Jeff, let's jump straight into this. As an entrepreneur, Jeff, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
No, I cannot tell you that. I wish I could. And then I would just do that thing over and over and over again. I think what I do, really is create content. You know, I'm a writer. I have an online business, primarily helping other writers. It's kind of evolving into more, you know, career transition kind of stuff. And my new book sort of, you know, addresses that. But, you know, typically I've built my business over the past few years really, you know, treating myself as the smallest, you know, test market in the world and going, okay, I'm a writer. Here's what I've struggled with. How can I address those pain points and needs that I have had and struggle through and continue to struggle through in some cases? And how can I, you know, share the solutions to those problems? So to boil it down, which problems do I address, you know, and actually solve, which ones of those work and are lucrative and, you know, keep the lights on, and which ones don't? I don't know. And I don't know that I need to know. I mean, obviously I'm trying to pay attention to that and trying to be smart in terms of, you know, metrics and measuring things, but I just try to create a lot of stuff with the intent of not just making things, but really making content. I mean, that's, you know, pretty easy for me to do as a writer, and doing that as prolifically as possible, again, with the intent to not just, you know, appease my creative muse, but to try to scratch an itch that at one point I have felt or continue to feel, believing that other people who are like me, you know, have that same itch.
Yeah, that's interesting. The smallest, you're your own smallest test market. And so I thought your answer to this question, and I've thought about this for months leading up to me wanting to get you on here, was you have, or what seems from the outside, innate ability to build an audience of rabid fans around you that really, really, truly, truly relate to what it is you're doing, what it is, how it is you talk about what you're doing, and just the whole package of it. And is that because you are your smallest test market, do you think? Or was this more planned and more, you know what I mean? Because it just seems like you really, really have that ability. And I really thought that that was going to be your answer.
Well, maybe that's a good answer.
You well, okay, I'll delete all the stuff you said and I'll just answer the question.
Yeah, say that. No, I don't think that's the answer because, first of all, that's not very helpful. If I were to go, I'm really good at building an audience. Well, great. I think you're looking at the outcome and you're asking me what the cause.
Right.
It's like saying, it's this stupid thing that people say all the time now, this word authenticity, like just be authentic. That's not really what they mean. Like I could tell you about the fight that I had last night with my wife, and that's me being authentic. That's not necessarily helpful or valuable to your audience. Maybe it is if we're talking about marriage or, you know, the tension between work and family, maybe. But, you know, like this idea that I can just kind of spill my guts and people will care. That's not the point. The point is, how can I share something that other people can connect with? And if you do that enough times, you have an audience. But I don't think that way. I don't think that the internet is a megaphone. The internet is, you know, a rifle shot. It's an arrow. Like I aim at one person at a time. Now, the reality is, like I send an email and it hits 50,000 people's inboxes. But that doesn't matter. What matters is each person reads that email as if I wrote it just for them. I think Seth Godin said this a long time ago. The internet is not another mass media channel. It's really direct marketing at its best. It's one-to-one. All great connections online are one-to-one. And so I don't think, like Shotgun Blast, like I don't think how can I make this appeal to a quote-unquote audience? I think how can I connect this with somebody who's a lot like me or a lot like I was at some point and help them? I'm not just trying to be authentic, although I think that's valuable. But I'm trying to be authentic or, you know, real so that somebody doesn't feel alone. Because when I made the decision, and yeah, there was strategy, like years ago when I thought about being a writer, I dreamed of, gosh, it'd be really cool to not have to work a day job and being able to write and create stuff and make a living doing that, not have to worry about other stuff. But I mean, that was kind of the, you know, the furthest it got. And when I was doing that, I struggled and I did my best to, you know, study what other people were doing, but I felt pretty alone. And I think everything that I do is basically trying to speak to that, you know, younger me, not that much younger, but, you know, a few years ago, and try to make that person not feel so alone. I mean, you know, the world is full of 7 billion people and over half of them are online in some form or another. You know, if I write for somebody that's just like me, chances are I'm writing for a lot of somebody's out there.
Yeah, smart. I like it. I'm interested now in this, Jeff, from a couple of years ago, the dream that you have, this dream of being a writer, and yet you aren't you are a writer, but you're not making a living out of it. You're not paying for the lights. What was the thought process, or what did you have to sort of go through to convince yourself that actually you can be that writer? You can make that living and you need to take it online and sort of step up and become somebody who can show or help other people do this as well.
Well, I wasn't a writer. I mean, I was writing, but I wasn't a writer. And I think there's a fundamental difference between those two. And the difference is mindset. And it sounds like super simplistic. And if I were listening to this a few years ago, I would kind of roll my eyes because I used to think that you had to like earn the title to be a writer. And yet here I was writing for years and years, getting published in magazines, blogging here and there, not necessarily making some huge splash, but I was doing it. And yet I would not call myself a writer at all. And when people, you know, would cavalierly tell me that it's easy or just, you know, 7 steps to this or 10 reasons why such and such, I would just scoff. And yet I kept running into these situations where I was subtly sabotaging myself, or somebody would say, what do you do? And I go, like I have this job that I like, but I don't love it. And I'm sort of a marketer, you know, I was a marketing director for a nonprofit, but I kind of want to do this. And I just kind of hemmed and hawed. I didn't have a good answer for what it is that I did. And it's because the thing that I was doing, I felt like I was, it wasn't all me. It wasn't what I was made to do. And I felt like I was missing out on something. And yet I wasn't willing to cross that divide and say, I'm a writer. And it took a few difficult conversations with some, you know, well-meaning mentors to help me go, yep, I need to change the way I'm talking about this in order for me to actually do work that matters. And what that looked like was a friend asking me, what's your dream? And I said, well, I guess it's to be a writer someday. And he goes, Jeff, you don't have to want to be a writer. You are a writer. I mean, he had seen me writing and everything, you know, and he was just sort of baffled that I wasn't calling myself a writer. He said, you are a writer. You just need to write. And like I said, before that conversation, I did not call myself a writer. I just thought like you had to like win all these awards or do, you know, get published or something to really, you know, earn the title. And yet I was doing things and I was still like, yeah, but. And around that same time, I was able to interview Stephen Pressfield, you know, great author, best-selling authors, probably a lot of your audience is familiar with his work. And he's a writer. I looked at him, I go, this is a writer's writer, you know, wrote this great book, The War of Art, and love that book. And so I interviewed him and I said, when does a writer become a writer? Like I thought, whatever he said, this is what I'll do. Like if he tells me I have to, you know, sell 100,000 copies of a book, I'll sell 100,000 copies. Like I want this, I really want it. And he says, you are when you say you are. I was like, Steve, like what about, you know, hitting the New York Times list or getting published or selling this many copies of a book? Or like, what do I have to do to like feel like I completed the marathon and get the medal? And he said, screw what everybody else says. You are when you say you are. And there's something really, I know it sounds like super simple, but there's something really powerful about owning your identity and then doing it. And I realized that activity tends to follow identity. Like what we do tends to come after the things that we believe. And if I believe that I'm fat and out of shape, like, you know, in a moment of weakness when I'm feeling sorry for myself, I'm not thinking like a thin person, you know? I mean, I'm thinking like the person that I sort of project myself to be. And other people can pick up on that. Again, not to get too metaphysical, just the bottom line is when you start calling yourself a writer, as I started doing after those two conversations, what's the next question that people ask you? Well, what do you write? And I was like, oh crap, well, I better get to work. And so for no other reason than that, start calling yourself this thing that you want to be, because then it forces you to get serious about the work in front of you.
Nice. So I'm hoping that you got off your call with Stephen Pressfield and he said, you are when you say you are. And I hope you just went immediately over and like to Namecheap or something and bought the domain goenswriter.com.
Yeah. You know,
there it is. There I am. I'm a writer now.
That's pretty much what happened.
You have the best domain for it. This is like, it makes sense. I love it.
Well, I couldn't get jeffgoins.com and I, you know, I'm badgering this realtor, you know, to give it up, but he like, you know, is saving it for his children or something. So I'm trying to like get the internet to help me, you know, sway him. But that was an interesting thing. So I was like, all right, I'll use goinswriter.com. And that was a commitment for me. Like when you buy a domain name, as we all know now, like you better get locked into that thing. You know, I mean, you can't be, you know, like my friend, Joy the Baker, joythebaker.com. Like if she ever hates food someday, like she is screwed because she's locked into her domain name. She's locked into her brand. So when I made that decision, I was like, I know from this moment on, this is something that I'm always going to be. I'm always going to be a writer. And I did. I went out and got that domain and actually like printed out, you know, business cards and put it in my email signature, Jeff Goins Writer. I mean, it was a commitment because I wanted to put this out there so that I could actually start doing it. And that was an important shift for me.
Excellent. I like it. It's a good story. That moves us on to work. So today's a work day. You have a new book coming out. This is going to be your fourth book, I believe.
Yeah.
You write often. You just got off a webinar. You do lots of interviews. You're a busy person. You're a father and you're a husband. Can you walk us through, Jeff, say the first 30 minutes or 60 minutes, whatever your routine is in the morning, what you went through to set yourself up to get the things done that you needed to get done today in the shortest amount of time possible?
Well, I hate this question, John, because I don't have a good answer.
Yes, you do.
You know, like, I hate this question because it sort of implies that, you know, I am efficient. I am organized.
You'll make me feel so good if you will admit that you're not, because the people that tell me the answers and it's like, are you serious? I feel terrible right now.
Right. So here's my day, and I'll try to make sense of it. But before I say that, I mentioned Seth Godin earlier, and I loved an interview that he did with Brian Clark way back when, where Brian said, hey, Seth, how do you write? And Seth goes, I'm not answering that question. Brian was like trying to recover and, you know, play cool host. And he's like, okay. And Seth goes, I'll answer it offline, but I'm not answering it on this call because I don't want to answer that question. Because here's why. People think that he mentioned this in one of his books recently. People think that if they knew what kind of cornflakes Stephen King ate for breakfast, then they'd be able to do the things that Stephen King does. And the same is true for me and my writing. People think that if they knew how I wrote or what tools I used, then they could do the things that I do. But the reality is, the reasons that I do the things that I do is because I'm weird and quirky, and I know the interesting rituals that get me into the mood to do the things that I need to do, and they won't necessarily work for you. I believe the same thing. I think that it's, as a friend of mine who recently basically changed his life making, you know, nothing. He was a starving artist. He's a musician, to making millions of dollars a year as an independent musician. He said, don't ask me what I do. Don't do what I do. Think like I think. Because the things that I do because I have a weird business, or I've got, I've figured out the things that work for me. But the principles behind the things that I do are way more interesting than what I actually do. That said, here's how I spend the first 30 minutes of my day. I hit snooze again. I get out of bed because my son is, you know, crying at this point, or, you know, playing in his crib or something. I pick him up. I've got a 3-year-old now. I take him downstairs, make breakfast for him. We play for a little bit. We're doing this kind of like superhero Star Wars mashup. So he's usually Darth Vader. I'm Batman. Batman has cool toys, but he doesn't have a lightsaber. So usually I lose. We run around, we play. My wife, you know, gets ready. She comes downstairs. We sort of tag team. And at some point in that handoff, I grab the laptop and I run away somewhere and just try to get some words down on a paper. Because some days that's the only time I have to write, which, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes here or there. I try to get, you know, 500 to 1,000 words down that then I'll turn into a blog post, or, you know, maybe it'll be a podcast, or maybe it'll be, you know, part of a chapter for a book or something. And that's kind of like the beginning of my day. It's not that exciting. It's fun for me. I like being Batman. I like fighting Darth Vader. But most of my life is figuring out how to create amidst chaos. I had this weird idea that, like, once I quit my job, I would have all this time to write. And somehow magically, all of my time, as you mentioned already, webinars, interviews, et cetera, all of my time that I would spend, that I thought I'd spend writing, got filled with doing other activities. And I think that's true. It's especially true for somebody who wants to, you know, figure out this blend of artist and entrepreneur, creative, and also like want to make money. It's this weird tension of how do I spend time honing my craft, doing things that matter so that I keep growing and don't stagnate and keep connecting with people and, you know, building the community, doing all that stuff. And how do I also like do my job? And some days work just kind of feels like a job. And then how do I balance that with all of the rest of life? For me right now at 32 years old, and I admit that I've got a lot to learn, life does not feel like something to be balanced. It doesn't feel like a teeter-totter to be balanced. It feels like a tension that has to be managed. And, you know, those first 30 minutes of the day or so is one snippet of how I try to manage that time.
I love it. There was a fairly long preface to the answer, but...
sorry. You can edit that out.
No, I love it. And you mentioned principles behind what you do, somebody had said. And with Seth Godin talking about the cornflakes that Stephen King eats, I think I've hammered it home enough to my listeners, but I really want to clarify, if not, the principle behind why I ask that question is not so that we can listen to you, Jeff, and then do what you do. I really love to show the absolute diversity and the fact that I absolutely believe with all my heart that you have to find out how it is you work, how it is where and how you can get the stuff done that you need to get done. And that is completely different. And you can't get it from a blog post. You can't get it from a podcast. That there's these 9 steps that this is going to make you Jeff Goins. It's just not going to work. Right. And so yep. I really just try and show that there are people who they literally sleep until noon and they run million-dollar businesses that are on the show. And then there's guys who get up at 5 a.m. every single morning. And there's ladies who they don't work until noon. That's just, but they still get up on them. It's, and I'm trying to just show the diversity and the fact that you do have to be confident in how it is you do it. And I love that you battle your son every day as Darth Vader. That's awesome. That's cool because do really cool stuff still. And I think that that needs to be shared. The fact that you can do that and still be successful. And I love that.
Yeah.
That's my opposite of a preface. I'm not a writer. So.
It's your epilogue.
That's my epilogue to the question.
Yeah. Thanks for that, John. I think that's so important. And I appreciate, you know, you putting it out there because I do think there's sort of this idea that if you could just like get things done in the right order, then you would be successful. And often, you know, what makes a day a success for me is not the 9 things that I do that are total wastes of time. It's like the one thing that hopefully I got right, you know, and sometimes it's just creating content. Sometimes it's that one, you know, relationship or connection that I made. And I'm, you know, like I get overwhelmed with a lot of different goals. And so I just try to do like one big thing every day and give myself some grace, you know, when I spend a lot of other time screwed around or, you know, getting interrupted, spending time with my son, you know, whatever. I mean, that's all an important part of, you know, my life, but I love the diversity. I think that's so important to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent. And so the one thing, getting it done, and when you get the one thing done, sometimes it's not going to be probably the right thing. So this takes us to like struggles and failures. As entrepreneurs, as just human beings in general, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes, and failing. Jeff, can you please walk us through how to be wrong?
So I think we have this idea that Michael Jordan or Steve Jobs or whoever, you know, failed until they succeeded and that somehow they succeeded in spite of their failure. Like we hear this story about Michael Jordan getting, you know, cut from his, you know, high school basketball team or not making varsity. We go, man, they were silly. They were, you know, they were wrong for doing that. You know, we just look back, we can't even imagine that, right? And yet if you, I read this story in Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, and she kind of walks you through that. And she said, no, like Michael Jordan succeeded because of his failure. It was because he got caught that he practiced so hard afterwards, because he lost his entitlement that he deserved to be on varsity. And really because of the guidance of his mom and saying, what are you going to do about this? Are you just going to wallow or are you going to go earn this? And he changed his mindset. He went from what Dweck calls a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. Like I can only control what I'm going, you know, to do today. And every failure is another opportunity to learn. Going along with sort of that, you know, basketball analogy, I like this idea of pivoting. So I think that it's possible to keep failing at the same thing and not learning it. A lot of people spend their lives doing this. For me, failure is, there's always a hidden lesson in failure. And so, you know, I think of that move in basketball. I'm 5'7". I've never been great at basketball, but you know, I used to play and have fun. And I remember the first time I saw somebody pivot. I was in middle school and, you know, this kid was dribbling and I was guarding him. And then he stopped and he planted one foot. And then his other foot, he started turning and he basically did like a 180 and passed it to a teammate. And I called travel on him because I was in sixth grade and I didn't know what pivoting was. And I didn't understand that this was a legal move. And I was like, oh, you travel. He's like, no, I did, my pivot foot didn't move. I was like, pivot foot, what are you talking about? For those who aren't familiar with basketball, and I, you know, don't know the sport that well, but you know, when you have basically exhausted all options, you've dribbled, you've stopped, you've taken your steps, you can't move any further, you're too far away to shoot, you know, the ball and make a basket. You basically have run out of options, except that you still have a pivot. You can basically turn in 360 degrees. And then, you know, pass the ball to a teammate and keep, you know, keep the game going. I think the same thing is true in life and certainly in business. When you've run into an obstacle, you don't want to keep running into it. I mean, I think that you have at least in my experience, what you want to do is you want to pivot. You want to go, okay, like I couldn't go through it. Maybe I can go over it. Maybe I can go around it. Maybe I can go under it. But I need to change something about my approach.
Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to join me. And I apologize for that sort of sudden ending. The last about a minute and a half of our conversation actually got cut off. Somehow my computer completely stopped recording it. And We were going to try and redo it to make, but it wouldn't work. And the conversation was too good to get rid of because of that. The last minute and a half was really just us thanking each other for our time. And I felt I needed to release it anyways. So sorry about that sudden. It happens in this game. That's what we do. But Jeff, thank you so much. He said a lot of smart things. Jeff is a smart, smart young guy that is doing some really cool stuff, has written some amazing books that I truly recommend you read, The Art of Work. And I will link to it in the show notes for you, but definitely check it out because Jeff is a smart guy and he said a lot of smart things, didn't he? He did. He said a lot of smart things. But then he said that one thing. One thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Life does not feel like something to be balanced. It doesn't feel like a teeter-totter to be balanced. It feels like a tension that has to be managed.
And that's the hack. Yes, Jeff, thank you. You're 32, I'm 37. I feel the same way right now about my life, but that's beyond the point. The point that I love is that you start it with for me. And I've talked about this before in things I've written and on the show, because I honestly think this is a key point that we need to get. Everything that the experts tell you or that anybody tells you that works for them does not necessarily work for you. And everybody tells you, yes, life needs to be balanced. You can't work. You need to do this. You need to do. But for Jeff, right now, life isn't something that needs to be balanced. It's a tension that he needs to deal with. And you need to enjoy it. You need to thrive in it. And you need to know that this is right for you. And so it was beautiful the way he just started this bold statement with, for me. And you need to think this way. I can tell you how every one of my guests works, how they think, how they struggle through stuff. But you need to find the ones that work for you, and you need to confidently go in that way. And also know that this will change. This will fluctuate, and it's going to be a fluid. It's life. It's the way business is. It's all, we have everything around us as well as what's going on in our businesses that we're trying to grow, build, and sustain. So you need to just have that confidence. And I loved Jeff's confidence of the for me. So just thank you so much, Jeff. I really, really, really appreciate you coming on the show. Again, sorry about the ending getting cut off, but the show was awesome and it was so, so good to talk to you. And thanks for the hack, Jeff. Speaking of my business and your business, I want to help you start a podcast. Podcasting in the last 7-8 months has completely changed my life and my business, like in ways that I couldn't even have imagined last summer when I started. Now I have partnered with the Copyblogger team and Jared Morris of Copyblogger to build Showrunner, the podcasting course. This week, Friday, we are going to be doing a pilot launch. A pilot launch is we're going to let a certain amount of people in at the beginning. We're going to be open for 2 weeks. This is going to be the discounted price that you're never going to get. There's hundreds of dollars off the full price. And we're going to close the doors after 2 weeks. The only way to get into this course or to even hear about it is to get onto the email list. Go to showrunner.fm, showrunner.fm. At the top, there's a place to put in your email. If you drop your email in there on Friday, you will get an email from us that shows you and tells you about the course. It's only going to be open for 2 weeks for a discount that will never be seen again. And we will not reopen the course for another couple or few months. We're going to help each one of these people. We're going to walk through with them to build the course better, to build their podcast, to launch their podcast, and to make them showrunners. So if you would like to learn from me how to podcast and how to create and build a massive audience fast, or hopefully as fast as I did, I guess I can't guarantee that, but podcasting has been truly transformational for me. My show has now been downloaded close to 400,000 times, which is absolutely mind-blowing to me. And I put a lot of hard work into this course, and I would like you to be a part of it if you at all want to try out podcasting for you and your business and your audience building. showrunner.fm is the site. Check it out. Get on that email list. And yeah, maybe we can start some shows together. So thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. As always, I truly, truly, truly appreciate you taking the time to join me. Until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.